Welcome in to another edition of the Pick Aside podcast, a college picks edition against my better judgment. And frankly,
what it is this week, a college slop edition.
Yeah, frankly, this is against my will that this is happening. I prefer to just not bet college at all. I have very few plays this week. Some stuff, mostly leans, that I'm going to just be on. But that's about it. Before we get to the picks and the slate this week, obviously, we are available on YouTube, youtube.com/@PickAsideESPN.
We're usually available. We apologize for what happened earlier in the week.
Sorry about Monday. If you were expecting a Monday recap episode, we sat in here and talked to each other for an hour, and then the audio file broke.
Shit happens.
We couldn't recreate the magic that took place. Trust that it was our best episode to date.
Award winning.
Yeah, it was. And it's just it's a lost file. It's lost media. Mm-hmm. I am Shane Orling. He is Tyler Aki. With you every week, the college picks edition today will come up in a second, but we got to start with the college news of the week, which is James Franklin took the Virginia Tech job.
Yes.
Which kind of was always like, I think as soon as he got fired, I was like, Virginia Tech feels like the perfect landing spot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's total home run. And I also just, big picture, this goes for all sports. Anybody tells you the team, the ownership group, the school doesn't have the money to do something, they're wrong or they're lying. If Virginia Tech can commit $230 million to their athletic department over the next four seasons while hiring James Franklin, the money exists everywhere, is what I learned.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway.
Well, and the other part of it, too, is I haven't seen a final number. Have you seen a number on what Franklin's contract was? But I imagine he's going to be overly compensated because he's still getting the checks from Penn State and by proxy by Adidas. So I don't think it's something that's going to be a eye-popping number when we see it, if we see it. But that's because he's getting supplemental income elsewhere, too. I think I'm with you. I think this is a home run hire for Virginia Tech because he kind of seems like one of those guys. He's going to settle down in Blacksburg, and this may be his forever spot. And this may be a spot where he latches on to Virginia Tech and brings them to places they haven't been in quite some time, too. I think it's all around great. And if you just look at the ACC, if we had to slot them and rank them today, best coaches in the ACC, James Franklin is probably number one. If he's not number one, he's number two.
Yep.
I get that there's names like Brent Key and Jeff Brohm in the conference as well who are near the top as well, but they aren't established commodities. Those guys haven't won playoff games. They haven't even made college football playoffs.
Yeah, it's Franklin or Dabo. Those are the two.
Like those are the one and the two in the conference.
And frankly, Dabo's a diminishing asset.
Well, I was going to say, those are kind of ships crossing in the night. I get that Franklin's fresh off of being canned, but James Franklin had all the momentum heading into this year. Dabo leaked down his leg with what he put forth at Clemson, so yep. I'm kind of in the camp that I think James Franklin is the best coach in the conference right now.
Yeah, and it's just a case of if he can achieve what he achieved at Penn State, at Virginia Tech, like imagine the corollary. At Penn State, what Franklin did was win 10 games a year and lose to Michigan and Ohio State. And if he played Notre Dame, he lost to them too. And at Penn State, that gets you clowned. Yeah. Because that's a school where you are hired not to win a conference, not to win bowl games. You're hired to win a national title.
Yeah.
And Franklin failed. Every single opportunity, he failed. And he couldn't beat his rivals. At Virginia Tech, if you win every game except Clemson and Florida State and Miami, you're God.
Yeah.
You'll have a statue built of you.
And like your in-state rivalry of Virginia, like Virginia is no Michigan or Ohio State.
No, and also just the way that the sport has changed. Like, again, Penn State's different. You're hired there to win national championships. But using, like, Virginia Tech or even my school, should they pony up the money to fire Jonathan Smith, you don't think I would take, like, winning 10 games and losing to Michigan every year? I would. Because you know what it gets me? Into the playoff.
Yeah.
That's the same deal at Virginia Tech. if you're going to win 10, 11 games and you're going to lose to Clemson or Florida State or Miami or whoever's on your schedule, you know what that's going to get you? In the playoff.
It's a hell of a lot easier to win the ACC than it is to win the Big Ten, especially with some of the new additions like Oregon, and I think USC is starting to make their mark in the conference a little bit. It's just a much easier conference to tackle. Like, by hiring James Franklin, not just the expectation, but just personally what I expect to see too, not the expectation set forth by the university, but I'd expect Virginia Tech to win the ACC probably two of the next 5 years, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to put that expectation on
conservative, but
it could happen. I'm not going to put that expectation on him, but the way that Clemson's gone, honestly, I mean, let's live in a world for a moment where Clemson and Florida State just leave the conference entirely. And then what is it? You are the program at that point. So, like, I thought it was a home run hire for Virginia Tech. I thought it was kind of expected. It felt like either Va-Tech or Arkansas was going to get this guy. Arkansas fans being mad about it is incredible. What the fuck do you think your program is? Like, if I'm a coach looking at a job, I get that you have the money now and you have the Waltons and NIL and all this stuff exists. But if I'm a coach looking at a job and I've got Virginia Tech on one side and Arkansas on the other, which one's got more history? Virginia Tech. Which one's in the easier conference? Virginia Tech. Where do I feel like I have a more consistent path to the playoff? Blacksburg.
Yep.
Like, Fayetteville comes up winning in none of the categories.
Yeah.
And if Va-Tech, again, if you've got $230 million to pump in your athletics department, then what do I need the Walton family for?
Like, if he goes to Arkansas, you're just running back the Penn State experience, where you're never going to beat Bama, you're never going to beat Georgia, you're probably not beating Texas. Like, yeah. You're just running back what you went through at Penn State.
Well, it's if you're going to be the coach that's going to beat inferior teams and lose to superior teams, and you're going to do that at Arkansas, you're going to win 6, 7, 8 games. You do it at V-Tech, you're winning 10.
Yeah, like, and to be honest, too, if you wanted that experience all over again, the Penn State experience, then you should just wait for Wisconsin to open up. You should just wait for Michigan State to open up. Wait for one of those, like, name brands within the Big Ten, because at least you have conference familiarity. You know how to navigate all the road trips and stuff like that. That's what you should have done. Go to UCLA even.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
If you wanted to do that experience again, there were options for you.
The other coaching nugget that we have no answers on, despite an ultimatum being issued, is Lane Kiffin. The university, finally. I mean, we said it weeks ago that Ole Miss should say it's time to sign. When LSU fired Brian Kelly, obviously when Florida fired Billy Napier, we talked about it. Now's the time. Ink a deal and make sure he doesn't take one of these two jobs. Now this week, the stories come out that Lane visited Florida, that his family visited Baton Rouge,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden Ole Miss is like, we need something signed by the end of the week, or you're not coaching the Egg Bowl, and you're not coaching the playoff. Now, I think the interesting part is, if Lane doesn't sign the contract, is Ole Miss really going to go, you know what, in the greatest year that we've had in 65 years, we're not going to have our coach for the Egg Bowl or the playoff? No, I don't really believe. I think you can call the bluff here a little bit. But I do think it's fascinating, because I think you and I agree on this. The best decision Lane can make, in my opinion, is staying in Oxford.
Yes. 100% agree. But Lane is known to not necessarily make the best decisions.
I know.
And especially when you've got all of these moving parts now surrounding, like, the weeks leading into the playoff, too. I mean, Ole Miss, effectively a lock. Like, just don't fuck it up the final 2 weeks. Effectively a lock for the playoff.
I think they only have the Egg Bowl left, right?
They're off this week, yeah.
And then they'll play the Egg Bowl next week. And if they win the Egg Bowl, they're in the playoff. And even if they lose the Egg Bowl, they are likely, I think they would still sneak their way in.
It's the difference between hosting and not hosting a playoff game.
I have to imagine they're going to win it. They'll be in the playoff. And it's been 60 years that Oxford's waited for a team like this. I'm not kidding. You go back and look. It's a dismal program, historically, since the 60s. And now in six seasons under Lane, you've won 10 games in 5 of them. And I just feel like if I'm Lane Kiffin, all the I don't want to say demons to exercise, all the things I've tried. You went to USC and it didn't work. You went to the NFL and it didn't work. Like, you've done all these different things, and it ended up with you offensive coordinator at Bama and Saban rehabbing your image and then at FAU, and now you've made your way back to the SEC and you've found a place that loves you, yes, that you're having immense success at, and I have to imagine will pay you.
For
like,
sure.
What are you chasing at Florida or LSU that you can't do at Ole Miss?
Yeah. Listen, the check you might get from Florida or LSU is probably going to be bigger than what Ole Miss will give you. But at the end of the day, you're Lane Kiffin. You've made millions of upon millions of dollars. Like, what is that extra $2 to $5 million per year really to you versus the peace of mind when you're already making a shit ton of money too?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Like, yeah, I think this game of chicken that may happen between Lane and the university in terms of the ultimatum that may or may not have been issued. Lane went on McAfee the other day, denied that he was ever given an ultimatum. No ultimatum exists. Believe who you want. I probably lean with the fact that the ultimatum was issued. Now,
yeah,
how much weight does it hold is a whole different story. But you're comfortable. You're winning. You're happy. Like, everything is finally in place. There's stability in your life, it seems like. Why would you not just stick with what you've got right now and ride this thing out?
Yeah, and then he tweeted that ridiculous passage about make a pros and cons list.
Yes.
He's like, add Ole Miss football, blue heart. I'm like, the pros and cons list is pretty simple to me. Pros, I get to stay where I am. I'm happy. This is a guy, like, I'm not going to...
God.
Yeah, I'm God. They'll build you a statue, yeah, in Oxford. And I'm not going to get into the personal life stuff of it, where, like, he has had his demons and his struggles, but, dude, you have. Like, that's mm-hmm. been a thing. And now you go chasing something you don't need. You'd leave the happiness that you found. Like, I would think Ole Miss is the perfect home for him.
Yeah.
And it's a program, I've always felt like it's a bit of a sleeping giant. If you get the right guy in there, you'll get the investment. The Grove's incredible. Yep. It's got a fan base that really cares. The downside is you live in Mississippi. But, like,
Gainesville?
It's not like you're moving. Yeah, right.
Rouge.
You're not moving to Miami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to the bayou or you're going to the swamp.
Notably glamorous places.
This isn't going back to USC and you're living in Hollywood. You are not going to Miami Beach. You're not going to New York. You're not even going to New Orleans.
Charlotte. Like,
right. You're like a two. What's Baton Rouge from New Orleans? An hour? Like, you're not even.
Yeah.
It just stay where you're at, man.
Yeah.
He's going to do what he's going to do.
It's fascinating, though.
I saw Neuheisel said he's going to Florida.
Oh, boy.
But we'll see.
You know what? It's going to be a very telling College Game Day this week when Mr. Saban gets the mic on this issue.
Well, Saban already said, what's to say that LSU or Florida are better gigs than the one he's got? So do me a favor, Nick. Just get on that desk and just straight up petition to Lane. Stay where you're at. And then Saban takes the LSU
job. How about this? What about this, though? Like, we've always said, like, Saban's as close to Lane as pretty much anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says those comments a couple weeks ago. What if that's his plea to him? Like, dude, stay where you're at.
Maybe.
Maybe it's more of a plea than what he's hearing in his conversations with Lane. So
that could be. It's interesting. All right. You want to get into the picks?
Let's do it.
May God have mercy on my soul as I embark on another week of betting college football. Oh, boy.
A theme in the penultimate regular season week.
What's your theme?
My theme is situational spots. I am pretty much only betting off of situation and off of division races and conferences. You may notice a lot of my games are coming in the ACC and the Big 12 this week.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, let's just get into it. And again, this is a week with very few, like, good games.
Very few good games, but there's a lot of, like, quasi-playoff spots here.
Yeah, that's for sure true. And let's just get started. I'm just saying, instead of going through, like, the big games you're going to want to watch, there aren't many of them, yeah. So I'm just going to take you through the board. We'll start right at 11 a.m. Okay. with a ranked SEC matchup where I have a lean. I'm not committed to betting this. But it is Missouri traveling to Norman to take on Oklahoma, and the Sooners are laying 7.5. Totals 41.5, expecting a low-scoring game. Mizzou's a pretty heavy public side. I kind of feel like, is this not an Oklahoma play?
Yeah, it's where I was leaning. I, You know, I can talk myself into both sides here, frankly. Mizzou, their quarterback, Matt Zollers, looked a lot better last week, but it was Mississippi State. Yeah. Ahmad Hardy, though, was the real star when he runs for 300 yards. And now you get a much stiffer test against Oklahoma, who's coming off of a war against Bama that they won. It was ugly, but you won on the road in Tuscaloosa. And that it kind of surprises me a little bit that when you say that Mizzou's the very public side here, because I would have thought it's Oklahoma. Oh, just came off of one of the biggest wins in the sport this season.
Yep.
And here we are as on the wrong side of a hook, but that's not the case. And it honestly makes me feel a little bit better about potentially playing Oklahoma.
That's really what got me here is like the 7.5. And I'm thinking, okay, probably all the money must be on the Oklahoma side generating the hook. But it's one of those numbers, and this is not like gospel, like you're going to win if you do this. It's telling me something that all the money is on Mizzou at 7.5. Okay, then why hasn't that come back to 7?
Yeah. Well, especially in ranked matchups when I see it too.
Right.
The 3.5s, the 7.5s. And conversely, like the 2.5s and the 9.5s too.
Yeah, it
goes against the numbers theory of gambling, but it is dropping you breadcrumbs of where you should be headed.
Like occasionally, you'll see home team laying 3.5, and Earth is taking the 3.5, and I'm like, have fun, guys. I'm gonna lay the 3.5. It's the reverse of the reverse.
Let's say this. These games usually don't end with 10-point wins.
No.
They end with 20, 23, 27-point wins they're leaning this side.
And I just feel like Venables, this defense, it's been the best defense in the SEC all year. They had a great game. I know they had to come back and win. It got a little ugly, a little hairy, but they came back and won. They had a great game limiting what Alabama wanted to do both in the air and on the ground. Now you get this backup quarterback at Mizzou, and I'm like, you did great against Mississippi State. This is a bit of a different beast, and you're in Norman. I like Oklahoma here. I think I'm going to play it.
The other part of it, too, is, and probably why I'll ultimately stay away, Oklahoma has worked themselves back into the playoff at this point. You've got the 8 next to your name after the latest playoff rankings. You don't need style points.
You just need wins.
You need wins, and you're not going to the SEC title game. So you just have to take care of your own business from here through the end of the season, and you are in the playoff.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to lay the 7.5 with Oklahoma right out of the chute at 11 a.m. And now I'm going to take you to a couple gross 11 a.m. ACC spots.
All right.
Louisville at SMU.
Mm-hmm.
Pony Express is laying 2.5. Louisville's season has completely fallen apart. They are specializing in losing games in stupid fashion.
Yeah.
You lost to Cal, and then with your season on the line, you lost to Clemson, and now your season's over. This is such an SMU spot. You get it inside a field goal. It's a team, I know everybody wants them, and it's kind of the reverse of what we were just talking about, where you get a mega public SMU side laying inside a field goal, and you're like, why isn't that ticked up to 3? Shouldn't you be on Louisville? Going beyond the gambling side of it and into the football part of it, Louisville's not that good.
No.
And offensively, they're a little compromised. SMU, we know, can score. And can Louisville keep up with them in a track meet? I don't know if I feel that way. It's a home game for SMU. You got to get off the mat after you just let your season end if you're Louisville. Flip side for SMU, they haven't been playing for anything all year. They're kind of just good to go here.
Here's the other part about SMU. You're not out of the playoffs.
Sneaky in it a little bit.
This is a huge game. And again, you'll need some help sitting at 5-1 right now in the ACC. But there's a chance. There's definitely a chance. And you're coming off of a bye week, too. There's a very live chance that SMU can not only find their way into the ACC championship game, but then ultimately the playoff.
I'm a little worried I'm walking into something, but I'm going to lay 2.5 with Pony Express.
Listen, SMU is... We are at spot number 1 in the ACC. I love the SMU play as well as a 2.5-point favorite. I think people look at Louisville in higher regard because they've probably spent a little bit more time in the rankings this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, their season is effectively over right now after what you did last week against Clemson and then some of the other spots where you've underwhelmed this season. I love SMU this week. It's one of my favorite plays.
All right, another gross ACC spot, and this one I'm really, you can tell me if I'm getting too cute and I'll just take it off my card.
Okay.
This team has covered the spread once since the calendar flipped to October.
Okay.
Virginia Tech's getting 17.5 at home against Miami.
Ooh, little
Isn't this a good vibe spot?
I was gonna say like a little vibes bump here.
Yeah, like
you know Franklin's gonna be on the sidelines.
Yep. Tech's got the bump.
He just gets to cheer. He just gets to cheer.
Tech's got the bump of having hired somebody. You might actually get an energetic crowd at this game against a ranked Miami team that's playing for their life. And I get to fade Mario Cristobal in an inexplicable spot.
Here's the other... Who's the interim right now at VT? I don't even know. Either way, it does not matter. You know that the next boss is there. You've got a chance to coach your ass off and maybe wind up with a job out of it.
Maybe.
Maybe stay on staff out of it.
I like that as a vibes play, asking Miami to cover 17.5. I don't think Miami's all that good, and if you've watched them at all lately, I know they dump-trucked the NC State a couple weeks ago, but offensively it's been a bit of a struggle. Even against Syracuse, they put up a crooked number. Dude, if you're any good, you should be putting 60 on Syracuse right now. I don't like what I've seen out of Carson Beck lately. Obviously, the losses, he was turning the ball over a ton. They struggle with decision-making because their coach is a moron. 17.5 just feels like a ton of points. At home, Blacksburg, good vibes. I'm taking Virginia Tech.
All right. I'm going to stay away, but I'll let you venture that way.
That's all I got at 11 a.m., so if you have anything else, little Charlotte plus 43.5 between the hedges.
Okay, have you seen the number about this, though?
I've heard some things.
Okay,
let me see
if I can find the exact number. I'm pretty sure I bookmarked it. Okay, Kirby Smart is 0-15 against the spread as a favorite of more than 38 points.
Do we jump in?
Do we just ride the trend as it is? Listen, this game doesn't mean anything to them.
I mean, it's 1-9 Charlotte. And but how often have we seen them fuck around in these spots, like against Austin Peay earlier in the year?
Dude, 38-0, 41-0, and we've got winners in our hands.
You want to take it? 43.5.
It was kind of one of these spots this week where I was like, all right, I've seen the numbers, I've seen the trends.
Like, I mean, even Ole Miss, it's not like Ole Miss just lit the Citadel on fire either. What were they, 55.5 point favorites? Did they cover that?
They might have, actually.
I don't need to have money on Charlotte and Georgia. I can just stay away. The fact I'm even thinking about it, I'm like, I don't want to bet college at all this week. And now I'm sitting here and I'm like, do we launch Charlotte plus 43.5? Like, let the degenerate come back in a little bit.
You know, but we'll give you the trend. We'll give you the trend that's out there. Kirby is 0-15. As a favorite of more than 38 points.
Do we have a trend on Kalen DeBoer? Can we take Eastern Illinois plus 50.5 in Tuscaloosa?
Eastern Illinois.
True.
Because it's an in-state game.
I didn't even think about that. All right, we'll keep it pushing. I got nothing up until the 2:30 games.
I've got a nooner. I've got a nooner for you. Baylor and Arizona. They go high, we go higher. This is a classic. I know it's not classic Big 12 teams, but this is a classic Big 12 spot in terms of offense. You've got teams that are kind of in effort mode. We're going to air it out. We're going to have a little bit of fun offensively. Two very potent offenses. I like over 62.5 between Arizona and Baylor.
Nobody wants the under. Or sorry, nobody wants the over.
Love it.
Earth on the under. I'm in. I'll go over 62.5 with you. That's fun. A little bit.
Listen, I've got no research to back this up. I am probably just firing from the hip on this one. This game's on TNT. Haven't the TNT games just been absolute offensive showcases, like electric fests? Like, we're firing the cannons every 30 seconds.
Dude, Baylor got 55 put on them last week by Utah. Like, Utah would have covered this number damn near by themselves.
Yeah.
55-28 last week in Waco. This is in Tucson. I'm in. Let's do it. Over 62.5. Fuck it.
We roll.
All right. I want to take you to the Big Ten at 2:30.
All right.
Oregon, USC. Probably the only really watchable game of the day if you're just a casual fan. I love Oregon here.
Same. Wow. We are in lockstep this week.
Laying 9.5. It's a big ass number.
We are going to walk off the cliff hand in hand this week.
Yeah, but this is fading the public. Everybody wants USC. It's a big-time public side. And I just think you take USC going all the way up the coast to Autzen. It's an Oregon team that does, like, I know they're ranked seventh right now, and if they handle their business, they're getting in, but it also does feel like they might need a little bit of style points, because as things are trending, they aren't going to qualify for the Big Ten title.
Which so, probably helps them. But.
It might help them, but it's also worth it for them if they want to get the highest seed possible to start putting it on some people. Yeah. And USC's defense is horrific.
Yes.
I think Oregon's been waiting for a spot like this where they can unleash Whittington, they can pound the rock, Lannon can play physical football the way he really wants to. Like, he doesn't want to be this speed and space coach. He wants to win the battle in the trenches, run the ball on somebody. They'll have an opportunity to crush USC offensively, and I think defensively, USC's a really good offense. They haven't been that tested. Oregon is going to test them a little bit.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
The one place where we've seen USC kind of struggle at times is when they go into out of their elements. When they're not in the sunshine of LA. And I get last week too, it was a pretty shitty weather game against Iowa, but then you saw the USC offense not show up. We've seen it in Nebraska where it didn't show up. Notre Dame on the road, it wasn't great. So when you get them out of their element a little bit in terms of the conditions, and that's what all, you never know what you're going to get up in Eugene. You never know. I'm with you. I like Oregon. And Oregon's one of those teams, whether it's true or not, they probably feel like ever since these playoff rankings have come out that they are one of the most disrespected teams. Your one loss came against Indiana, the number two team in the country, an 11-0 team. Oregon probably feels like they should be the first one-loss team on these rankings week to week, right?
Yep.
Like, they probably feel like they should be four or five or six right now. They're at seven. They probably feel like they should be at four.
Yeah, and they have an opportunity to prove it here. And frankly, like, USC through the air has been awesome, Jaden Maiava. Mm-hmm. If you want to beat Oregon, you got to pound the ball. You got to run on them. And I don't know if USC is going to be capable of it. This is a Lincoln Riley team that isn't exceptional up front. They never are. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of improv. You're on the road at Autzen. Weather might not be super friendly. This is just a total Oregon spot.
Yep.
Now, I want to pick your brain on something else here. Over 59.5, is that attractive at all?
I just wonder if Oregon could just shut this USC team down.
I feel like USC's offense is too good to just get really locked.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
Like, we still see games where they only score like 21, 23 points.
True.
Which still may get you over that 59.5.
I guess the fear, too, is what happened to Notre Dame and USC, where you've got Lincoln Riley getting cute and going on fourth downs, and if you don't get them, your total's dead.
Yeah. Because you're always going to be operating with high numbers with USC. And to be honest, I don't know what Oregon offense is going to show up. We've seen the offenses that look awesome, and then we've seen the offenses that underwhelm, too.
All right, I'll stick to just the side. Okay. I only have two more bets the rest of the day. It's a very light night slate for me.
Yeah, I think I've got like three or four.
I'm going to go to 3 o'clock in the Big 12, TCU in Houston.
Okay, hope we're aligned.
This is purely a number, because I looked at it and I just had the thought. It's been a great year for Houston. Willie Fritz has been awesome. They've got a number next to their name, but then you start digging into some of the power ratings, some of the SP Plus stuff, some of the FPI stuff. People think TCU is going to win this game. And I kind of was just like, TCU underwhelming. They've been bad lately offensively. Hoover hasn't been what you've expected. Like, he was great to start the year, but he's been super turnover prone. The quarterback. How is this only 1.5?
Well, it's moved off of a pick.
I like TCU getting 1.5.
Okay, we're going to go head-to-head here because Houston needs this game a hell of a lot more than TCU does. Houston's still playing for something. Houston still has a chance to get into the playoff because of the way that the Big 12 clusterfuck is lining up this year. Like, if you lose this game, this is your season. Like, Houston is playing for their season. You're effectively giving me a money line spread here at 1.5. I'm taking Houston because you've got your backs up against the wall at this point.
I will also just update. It looks like the pick was a look-ahead number. This opened at 2.5.
Okay.
All right, I'm going head-to-head with you. TCU's live in this spot to win the game.
Again, almost all of my picks this week are situational.
it's the same thing for me. We're just reading the opposite side of the situation. Yeah. Like, I see the number and go, I feel like Houston should be a bigger favorite. I'm going to kind of ride this and just go TCU. Do what you want to do. We'll go ahead to head on.
All right.
And then my last bet of the day goes to the night slate, and it's a big one. In the Big 12, BYU at Cincinnati.
Okay.
Cincinnati's a 2.5-point home dog. The total's 55.5. Against my better judgment, because I don't feel super confident right now, but the quad bombs have worked this week, or this year, rather. I think I'm sitting at 4-2 right now on them. This is a Cincinnati quad bomb.
All right. Love it.
The Bearcats are going to win this game.
Yes. You get BYU out of their element a little bit. Traveling across the country. Who would have thought BYU traveling across the country for a conference game? And, yeah, like BYU, they kind of have, I won't say things locked up for a spot here, because the Big 12 could just become one giant tie for second at the end of the year. But I'm with you. Like, Cincinnati's still in this thing, too.
Yep.
They're in the same situation that Houston's in, and this would be a huge head-to-head to pick up.
It's also, for me, it's not even really like the spot play so much as I just don't think BYU is all that good. They've gotten a ton of luck. They were down $1 billion to Iowa State, and Iowa State made successively the three dumbest mistakes you could ever imagine, seemingly on every drive. It's a Rocco Beck pick six. It's the idiot blocking downfield on a punt that kicks the football. They should have lost to Utah. They should have lost to Arizona. They got blessed with an overtime where Noah Fifita fumbled the ball. Like, you just... There have been so many moments where they're charmed, but then they go to Texas Tech and they get fucking chokeslammed. And it's like, finally, somebody who is good put them in their spot. Cincinnati, I think, is good, not great. Nobody in the Big 12 is great, with the exception maybe of Texas Tech.
Yeah.
They're at home. You take BYU off their stupid-ass mountain in Provo and put them in Ohio. In a valley? Like, this is a heavy Cincinnati play.
You know what this game reminds me of? I think we've already seen this game this year. Cincinnati, Iowa State, circa week 5. I don't remember the exact week. It was in early October. We were doing the show at Will's that day.
Cincinnati housed them.
And that is a game where you've got unranked team at home going up against a team ranked between 10 to 15.
Yep.
And I feel like we're seeing that same spot all over again. And it was Cincinnati as a 2.5-point dog at home. And I think we're seeing the same situation play itself out here.
I believe that was the first quad bomb of the season for me, too.
Believe you're right.
Cincinnati at home against Iowa State.
Yeah, you were still trying to gather some data early on in the year.
I was slow with them this year. And this is going to be the only one this week, just to spoil everybody. The NFL slate, I don't love it. So this is going to be the only one, but I had to get one out because I love this spot for Cincy. And they've been fun all year. They saved their coach's job. Like, preseason, people thought this was a nightmare gig, and he's going to get fired. And now it's like, you have a chance in late November to actually fuck around and maybe get to the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
I love Cincy this weekend.
All right.
And I also think it rescues Utah, which... I just am kind of I don't know where this happened. I'm rooting for Kyle Whittingham a little bit this year. I'd like to see Utah, Texas Tech in the Big 12 title.
Because I feel like that's the team that can give the best fight in the Big 12 title game. I'm with you there. And I've always liked Kyle Whittingham and Utah in general. It's just been a fun program to root for. I have no, like, hard stance of why I'm pro Utah. It's just I like rooting for Kyle Whittingham. So
I have a friend who says they remind him of the Mark D'Antonio Michigan State teams. Where it's just like, you get consistent, good coaching. They're going to play physical. They're tough up front. They're going to play good defense.
They're not the most talented teams, but...
they'll overperform.
Yeah.
And I've always liked that.
They'll always be in the fight.
I always appreciate a program that feels built that way.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what else you got?
All right, 2:30 in the SEC, a rare SEC game for me this week.
Oh, boy.
Vandy as a 9-point favorite against Kentucky.
Oh, boy.
And I am going to lay it with Vandy a 9-point favorite. Vandy's sitting right now 14th in the country after the latest playoff rankings. They definitely feel like they can find their way into this playoff some way, somehow. But there's only one way to do that, and that is with style points if you're Vanderbilt right now. because you look at the rest of their schedule. All they have left is Tennessee. Who knows what Tennessee is going to look like? How much that game is really going to mean anything by the time you get there? But you can't look ahead in any way, shape, or form the rest of the season if you're Vanderbilt. You got to be focused on the here and the now. And I think Clark Lee does a pretty good job of that. And the way that their offense is going right now, I get that it was slow in the first half against Texas, but you still found a way to 31 points against what I believe is an elite defense. You dropped 45 last week on Auburn, albeit your defense let go of the rope, letting up 38 against Auburn. But putting up 45 to me tells a little bit more than letting up 38 against Auburn, because that defense has also been elite this year. You're coming off of a bye. You need style points. You need to go out and win this game by like 30. And if you're going to tuck me inside of 10, I'm all for it. So I'm going to take Vandy as a 9-point favorite.
All right. What else?
Only one more game for me. And that is probably one of the three best games of the day. Pitt and Georgia Tech.
The balls to bet this?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man.
Because both of these teams checked out last week. Came away with different results, but you were going up against very different opponents here. I'm going to take the Pitt Panthers.
Wow.
I don't think Georgia Tech's providing any sort of home field advantage, really. Not that I think Pitt really would either. But I feel like Pitt was a little more battle-tested last week. Going up of...
It's
like,
true.
I feel like Pitt got a better chance to like game plan within their game last week, going up against Notre Dame, than Georgia Tech did going up against BC, if that makes sense.
Okay.
This is an easier game now for Pitt. This is a much more difficult game for Georgia Tech the very next week. And the way that Pitt's off... Listen, I kind of throw the result out of the Notre Dame game.
I was just going to ask you this.
Because Pat Narduzzi told you what they thought of that Notre Dame game. He told you it didn't matter to them. And to be honest, Brent Key didn't tell you the BC game didn't matter to him. But he showed you that the BC game didn't matter to him last
week. That's true.
By damn near losing it.
They basically worked themselves into having byes.
Yes. So both of these games, both of these teams last week were in look-ahead spots. This is the game you look ahead to. And I look at the way that Georgia Tech's played lately. You had the loss to NC State, which was, like, they're not playing their best ball right now.
Nope.
November has not been kind to them. You lose to NC State. You damn near lose to BC. I just don't know if they're in a spot to really feel good about them, even at 9-1 this year. And on the other side, I think Pitt is trending up.
I aligned with your opinion on it. I just don't have the balls to do it. Because my fear is, what if this is gut check time for Georgia Tech? Where, like, you spend a week, as Brent Key, saying, you guys just got hit with the reality check, that you aren't all that good. You're 9-1 and you got a little number next to your name, but you lost to NC State and you almost lost to BC, and it's nut cutting time now. At home against Pitt, this is going to be the difference between if we make the playoff or not. And that was I align with you. I think Pitt's the right side. Georgia Tech's public. It's sitting under a field goal. It makes you wonder why. Pitt last week, if you're willing to throw it out, since the quarterback change, been outstanding offensively. Narduzzi told you he didn't care about the game, so you can throw it away a little bit. I don't have the balls to go on the road with Pitt and take the 2.5. If it were 3 or 3.5, I'd be with you.
I think Pitt's going to outright win the game, to be honest.
All right.
And that's the way when I see a dog and I think they're going to outright win, it frankly doesn't matter if you're inside of 3, if it's 1.5, whatever, 2, I'm probably taking the dog there. I look at Georgia Tech, too. Defensively has been what concerns me the most right now. And when you've got an offense that's flying like Pitt's is right now, I like that matchup a lot. If this team's going to get into a shootout, I like Pitt's chances a hell of a lot more than I like Georgia Tech's chances.
All right, I have two quick rapid-fire questions for you. Can we bet either of these?
Okay.
Penn State laying 8 at home against Nebraska.
No. I mean, you got two backup quarterbacks in that game.
I know. Fucked up number, though? You look at a horrible 4-6 Penn State team at home against 7-3 Nebraska. And I know Raiola's out, but it's like a Matt Rhule extension got signed.
Yeah.
And Penn State's laying 8.5.
Yeah, like Matt Rhule's not playing come and get me right here. Like, this isn't Ben Johnson going to Soldier Field last year and say, hey, come and get me.
No,
come
this is, like, they might lay down in this spot. And I don't think Nebraska hasn't been any great shakes this year anyways. I just thought the number jumped out. The other one I have for you is 630 SEC. Tennessee laying 4 at Florida. Isn't this a crush spot for Tennessee?
I don't know, man. Florida's been playing better. Haven't they?
Yeah, like, playing better. They've lost 4 of their last 5.
Yeah, but you can tell it's a different Florida team. I guess the Kentucky game may beg to differ, but
you'd lose by 31 to Mark Stoops.
Listen, like, ever since Billy Gonzalez took over, you can tell it's a little bit of a different team.
But you know how I feel about Tennessee. They set you up. They bring you in. Heupel will bring you into believing, yeah, oh my God, you know what? They're legit. And then they're going to play that finale in Neyland against Vandy and get fucking crushed.
Yeah, no, it's not worth my time or trouble.
All right, fine. I
not
can
worth
stay
my
away
time
from
or
it.
Trouble.
Then that's all I got. I'll recap my card. It's short, 7 bets in college. I don't want to bet college football right now. I don't feel like I have a good read on it. Virginia Tech plus 17.5. SMU laying 2.5. Oklahoma laying 7.5. Baylor, Arizona over 62.5. Oregon laying 9.5. TCU getting 1.5. And Cincinnati quad bomb getting 2.5 points at home against BYU.
All right. I am with you on SMU laying 2.5 against Louisville. We're going over in Baylor, Arizona. 62.5 is the number there. Oregon laying 9.5 against USC. Vandy giving 9.5 to Kentucky. Houston has a very short home favorite, 1.5-point favorite over TCU. Pitt as a 2.5-point dog, and Cincinnati as a 2.5-point dog against BYU.
That'll do it for us on the college edition of Pick Aside. We'll be back tomorrow with an NFL picks edition for week, what is it, 12?
Week 12.
Week 12.
Oh, Thursday Night Football free tonight?
Lean Houston. No play. But I lean Houston.
Yeah, I've got no play.
Getting 6. I would like it at 6. 5.5, I think, is the number right now. I wouldn't take it there. But Houston would be the lean at home against Buffalo, Thursday Night Football. We'll be back tomorrow. NFL picks edition for week 12. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.